across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
That was Atlas Hands there from Benjamin Francis Leftwich. Now, that was taken from his first EP back in 2011. Now, he's an indie folk singer-songwriter, and he released his third album, Gratitude, earlier this month, and it's ahead of his UK tour and European tour, and he'll be playing at the Junction on Tuesday. And I caught up with him earlier today, and in between all these gigs, and I asked... But because I spoke so long to him, had so much to say, I've split the interview into two parts. So the first part, I started by asking him how it felt to be finally playing his new album. Oh, well, and also all about the new album.
I think it's the most honest and kind of clear shooting record that I've made, and I was kind of less fearful and had less ego making it, you know. And not that I think clarity in a lyric necessarily makes a song better, but for the first time, you know, I'm really... aware of what their message is and what the history is behind every song. And that feels good, you know. It's not something I've done before. Again, not to say that clarity and clear message necessarily makes a song better, but, you know, in terms of performing it and travelling around and playing it every night, yeah, I'm really loving it. You know, we're playing a mix of old songs and new songs, and, you know, I'm super proud of the record, more so than I ever have been. But I think us artists, we're always going to... There's always going to be a little percent of us that thinks, oh wow, we could have done this differently or this differently. It's hard to let go of sometimes.
I think that's the artist in you though, isn't it? That's yeah. always wanting something slightly different. Or I guess music producers must get quite frustrated with musicians, because I imagine each time they say, right, that's
oh,
it
yeah.
oh no, but can we just change that bit or whatever.
Yeah, they really do, trust me, they really do. And some of my best friends are, you know, producers, yes, who worked on this record, and we our friendship is tested at points.
Now, I just want to ask you, your album is called Gratitude. So what are you grateful for? Who deserves your gratitude?
Who? Wow, I don't know about that, who, but I think I'm grateful for, you know, the experiences I've had over the past 10 years, being lucky enough to, you know, travel the world and share my music and meet, you know, beautiful new people. Mm. And I'm also grateful for some of the pain that's come alongside that as well. And, you know,
yeah, so
grateful to have been presented the chance to kind of click self-destruct buttons.
Yes.
That I clicked that then allowed me to go, you know, this isn't how I want to be living.
Yeah, so your point is that you don't have to be grateful just for happy things. You have to be grateful for being able to have experiences and feelings, yeah, which is lovely.
Totally, and to feel things that can then, like, you know, flip a switch and put us on a different road. And, you know, I don't have all the answers or anything like that, and I still consider myself a baby in, like, life and in music. But I think I'm grateful to have, you know, one day at a time landed in a place where I can just exist and make music to the best of my ability, and accept that I'm no angel. I'm gonna make mistakes. I make less than before, but I continue to make them, and I'm quicker to take accountability and be able to look in and not hide behind ego and fear. And
no, I was reading that you said you wrote some of these songs when you were on tour with your last album, so that was a couple of years ago, but you kind of fell out with music in those last times, and also you've had quite a challenging time the last couple of years, but you've come back to them with a different take on life. So do you feel these songs have evolved both lyrically and perhaps musically too?
Yeah, I started writing these songs kind of mid-2016, on days off tour, or, you know, when I was back in London for a second. I think lyrically, I just got more, I think it's more honest. I don't think that means it's better, but I think it's more, the message is more on the nose. And, mm-hmm. and you know, the more we do this as artists, I think the kind of the less we try and jump through hoops, you know, in my experience anyway, the less I try and jump through hoops and appease what other people expect of me, whether people expect a folk record or a pop record or this record or whatever, you know, and just kind of, I just do my thing. And my rule is kind of, I do what's right for the song. And sometimes I don't get the balance right of how much of my own energy I kind of put into the song, you know, and I can, there've been times where I can cause myself damaged by being so overly obsessed and perfectionistic with it.
Do you think with age you're actually learning to try and walk away slightly from these things? I mean, that's an easy thing to say, isn't it? That say,
yeah, totally.
I'm going to leave it as it is. That's good enough, as it were.
I think you're dead on. I think I just become less realised that, you know, especially in the industry when kids get into it so young, and I was young when I kind of started touring, you know, I was 20 and I still consider myself young now at 29.
Absolutely.
It's a whirlwind, you know. Is it really any surprise that in this day of addiction to basically everything that gets us out of our own heads and this immediate connection and comparison, that so many of our favorite artists are deciding to leave the planet
or
getting very, very ill.
Yeah.
And the biggest drug and the biggest damaging factor in all of that, I think, is social media, which especially this year feels like it's just like it's just like a plague, you know. And, and I'm no angel with it. I struggle with it, and how to balance that, and how to get my mind to not realize that that's not real life.
I think it's really recognized now, isn't it, that actually you have to try and actually force yourself off social media and move away to actually get a bit of peace sometimes.
And I think it is recognized, but I think the problem is that it's
endemic now, isn't it?
Exactly like an addiction would, which is that you say, I'm only going to go on for 5 minutes today.
Yeah.
And then I would say my instinct is the majority of people tell themselves that and then go on.
Yep.
Way more.
Exactly the same. Yeah. And I think also we get lots of our news and our, you know, new artists and music through social media. So you think, well, I've got to go on because I might miss out on something X, Y or Z. But actually sometimes you need to kind of get a bit of real life, I think.
It's so easy to forget that real life as well. You know, when you're on tour and you walk into an empty venue at 1 p.m. and all your stuff is set up and there's a table spread out with like all nice fruits and all this kind of mad stuff, you know. And it's easy, and I think that the most dangerous time for artists is when they come off tour and they suddenly, that bubble is that comfy sofa's not there anymore, you know what I mean? And you just kind of, you know, so, I definitely struggle with that. But also, I'm so lucky, you know what I mean? I never take that for granted. I love doing what I do.
Yeah.
I love sharing music. I love speaking to new people. And you know, we got an amazing artist called Rosie Carney on tour with us, who's a friend from music. I've known her for 6-7 years.
And, I saw she's supporting you, because she's supporting you when you're coming to Cambridge. She's supporting you for the whole tour, isn't she, pretty much?
Yeah, she is. She's amazing. And she's playing with a cellist called Shabnam. And
fantastic.
These guys are great, you know, and we're lucky, you know. We tour as a family, but it comes with stress sometimes. But, you know, I'm grateful. It's like it's a dream, you know what I'm saying? I remember being 17 years old playing like 20 cap rooms in my hometown, thinking, wow, if one person comes down that I don't know personally, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's
you
a
know
win.
What I mean? You know, so I just got to keep myself in that mindset and perform well.
So you're So that was the first half of the interview, and I hope you enjoyed that, because I find him a very, very interesting artist. We're going to just look at what's going on the travel now, and then we'll have the second half of the interview.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So we're going to have the second part now of the interview with Benjamin Francis Leftwich, who's playing at the Conjunction on Tuesday night. And at this point, I asked him all about the tour and how it's going. So you're playing back in your hometown, as you said, already in York tonight. And interesting, I was in Leeds last weekend at Jumbo Records, and I saw your poster there for it. And I was like, oh, this is a sign.
Exactly.
And I've noticed that you are playing a lot of beautiful venues, including I noticed the Union Chapel in London as well. Have you played many of these sorts of venues before?
Yeah, I've played a couple. I played the Union Chapel a bit before, and I've played a fair amount of church venues and kind of seated venues. Mm. But, you know, it's... Often they look amazing, right? Yeah. You know, from the pictures. And sometimes we do have amazing shows in there. But in terms of being a performer in those rooms, it can be quite intense, you know, because everyone's just sat down.
Staring at you,
not really knowing how, like, rowdy to be or whatever. But,
you know,
the first night the tour was in Dublin, basically in a nightclub, and it was chaos, but it was amazing. You know what I mean? It's like rowdy. The energy was really up. And, you know, I'm grateful for any show I get to play. And you know what I pray for before I go on stage is like, look, if I walk out there and there's one person in that room who cares about my music, who's come to see me, then I'm gonna do exactly the same I always do. And if there's a thousand people, that's cool as well.
So you're coming to play here at the Cambridge Junction on Tuesday, and I saw you playing at the Cambridge Folk Festival. You headlined on the Thursday night a couple of years ago, which was really wonderful. And in fact, my colleague Julian interviewed you at the time then, and that I must say, hearing your interview, I thought, right, I'm definitely going to come and see you then. And that's the first time I'd experienced your music. So
was that, 2012 or
the 17 one? In fact, I probably saw you in 2012, because we live so near. I go to the Folk Festival pretty much every year and absorb as much new music as I can. So
it's amazing.
It's a great
festival,
place.
One of my all-time favourites.
Oh, lovely. So say, have you managed to spend any more time looking around Cambridge, or you just come in and do the kind of, do you get any time to actually relax in any of the places you
visit? What? Occasionally we do. It really just depends on where we are in the world and what we have on the next day and the travel plans. But whenever I've walked around Cambridge, I've always really liked it.
It's quite like York, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like Harry Potter town, you know what I mean? It's beautiful and lots of green spaces.
Yes.
And one of my dear friend of mine, an artist called Steve, who is from Cambridge,
I always
kind of hang out with him, you know, and just wander around.
Yeah, I'm in a music collective, and we're looking at collaborating with Steve, funny enough, and we are sound.
Well,
so
let me know if you need a contact number. He's the loveliest man you could ever hope to meet. I'm sure you already know him, but he's an absolute angel.
Well, that's brilliant. Well, I'll definitely be renewing that one then. And I'll say, how do you find now that you find to wind down and relax after the gigs? And who do you listen to when you're travelling to and from the gigs?
That's such a good question. Last night I was listening to Tallest Man on Earth in the car in the van on the way back from the show. We actually drove to the wrong hotel by accident, and we had to drive half an hour in the other way.
Just what you need, yeah.
These things happen.
Yeah.
But I listen to everything, you know. Honestly, I listen to a lot of rap and hip hop, and I know people find it kind of mad when I say that, but I listen to like Drake and J. Cole and Future and Kanye on the way to shows, or even walking around the shows just to get my energy up. And I can't pretend to relate to some of the stories in that music, and nor do I use some of the language, but I really love the music. I love what they're saying. And it's the energy thing, you know what I mean? I think growing up, I remember being 17, it's like, I'm only going to listen to new folk music, you know, whatever. Yeah. And now I'm just like, anyone doing their thing, that's cool. You know, like I even listen to podcasts sometimes, or I get sent new demos from artists I'm working with, you know, pretty much every day. And I just listen to kind of what I feel like, you know, but I'm always going to have my heroes. But the honest answer is I listen to a lot of rap and hip hop, and I try and just listen to whatever makes me feel a certain way rather than whatever I think would people might expect that I would listen to, you know what I mean?
And that's great. No, I'm definitely with you on that. I have a very wide eclectic mix, and sometimes I surprise myself and thinking, I don't think I should be liking this. No, yes, I'm going to, because it's what you feel, isn't it? Rather than how it makes you feel, I think.
Totally, and that's really all we have, isn't it? It's like just trusting ourselves and listening to our instinct, and and listening to what makes us feel away. And I fall asleep listening to podcasts. I fell asleep listening to a reading of the story, The Ugly Duckling. I always do this. Aww. I fall asleep listening to it, and I've never actually finished it, because I fall asleep like 30 seconds into the story.
Yeah, it's a great start of the story. You need to start it towards the end. You might have more chance. So in your thing, you said you're playing a mixture of the old tracks alongside your new album. Do you have a favourite track? Is that a favourite old track or favourite new track?
You mean like a favourite one to play in the set?
To play, sorry, in your set. When you're coming on Tuesday night.
Yeah, it kind of differs every night. I'd say at the moment, I really love a song off the new album called The Mess We Make.
Oh,
I really
yes.
like playing that song live.
Yeah.
And because it's, you know, we just do it with the piano and the vocal. Tillich, am I always going to love playing? Kicking Roses, I love playing. I mean, all of it, it depends on, you know, last night in Newcastle, we had the whole room singing along to Atlas Hands, so it's like, that's
brilliant.
Crazy as well.
Yeah.
It depends. It's hard to pick one, but I'd say The Mess We Make is definitely the one where I feel like, you know, selfishly, I kind of get the most from that, from singing that song.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Well, thank you ever so much for spending the time. I know you must be exhausted with all this, so it's really nice that you've taken some time out to speak to me. Thank you ever so much.
And you're so welcome.
And we'll look forward to seeing you. I'm going to be down there at Junction. I'll hopefully come and give you a wave at the end.
Please do, yeah. Come and say hello.
I will do. And say thank you ever so much, and good luck with your gig tonight in York. And take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye now.
So I've just lost the track. It won't be a second. We're going to play that track, The Mess Is Mine, because The Mess We Make, because he said it was his favourite one. And we'll just have a quick go at putting that on. Here we go. Won't be a second. And, yeah, here we go.
Look at the mess we make. Look at ourselves away. With so many beautiful days. But how can I separate the songs from the mistakes? I know. Forgotten birthdays, I didn't call. I am working on my balance as I'm climbing up the walls. People say to me, you're living in the dream. I never know the answer. Trying to realize a vision of paradise. But even if we're running blind, at least we can say we tried to see all the signals and the signs that flash up in the night. Clarity finally is coming to me. slowly I can see.
And that was the new one, The Mess We Make. That's taken from the album Gratitude, Benjamin Francis Leftwich, who's playing at the Junction on Tuesday night. And if you want tickets for that one, you need to go to the junction.co.uk website. And I will be down there seeing him, because I think the new album is slightly more sort of sonic, electronic-ish slightly. He's got a few more things in like that. So I hope you enjoyed that interview. I know it was in two parts, and I hope you got something out of those ones.